some notes that you do not have. Number one, note number one. I'll repeat this at least twice. The line between chaos and a civilized civilization is getting thinner and thinner. The line between chaos and a civilized civilization is getting thinner and thinner. Number two, the time is coming when you are going to find out what you are made of. The time is coming when you are going to find out what you are made of. Number three, our Southern Baptist Convention president said that we are to declare Black Lives Matter. I will not do that here. I stand on the Bible for the reason of making that decision. According to the Bible, which is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the King of humanity. All lives matter.
Amen.
Red, yellow, black, and white, they are all precious in His sight. And as far as Hainesville Baptist Church goes, we will love all red, yellow, black, and white.
Amen.
They are precious in His sight. May the Holy Spirit grow us to have that same love that God has given us, that we will truly love all colors that are in this world. And may I say this, what you see in Seattle is simply a dress rehearsal for what could come in a bigger way down the road. So I want you to pay attention more to the Word of God. Be as sensitive to the Word of God and His leadership as you can. And realize that the progressive left wants to take over the world. I'm going to stop right there. What gives me the sanity that I have, and I know that you have, is that God is in control.
Amen.
And thank God for all of that.
Yes.
I want you to notice the title: famine, hunger, scarcity, and economic woes. And you don't have this, but I would like for you to put it. Equals or produces chaos. Famine, hunger, scarcity, and economic woes produces chaos. Let's begin with the introduction. When the disciples asked Jesus for the sign of His coming, Jesus also foretold that shortages, scarcities — you might want to underline the word scarcities, it means a lack of sufficient supply — that is going to come, it is going to exist during the church age, in the latter days of the church age, or the age of grace. Hunger and deficits of all types would upset the world at the very end of the age, just before He returned. The word famines in Matthew 24:7 comes from a Greek word that literally describes scarcity of grain. Because the word used in this verse is plural. I might want to underline the word plural. I'd like for you to underline words, because as you come back to read this to yourself, or maybe you want to share it with someone else, you'll know the words that need to be emphasized as you are sharing this with somebody else or reading it for yourself. So the word famines in Matthew 24:7 comes from a Greek word that literally describes scarcity of grain. Because the word used in this verse is plural, it depicts multiple famines and multiple scarcities that will occur, and there's a word you'll want to underline, simultaneously in various parts of the earth at the very end of the age. Here's another note you might want to write down. Suffering. Suffering will be a part of life. Suffering will be a part of life in the church age. As history moves forward towards God's planned goal. What we are reading is in the divine plan of God. What does that mean? It is going to happen. So therefore, you must. It is not an option. It is non-negotiable. You must prepare and you must plan for what God is going to allow to come. Question number one. What is the true nature of poverty? Poverty is a thief that steals time. Underline time. Number one, in reference to time, time is a gift from God. So poverty will steal, if we allow it, time from people. What else is wrapped up in time? Opportunities. Where there is time, there is opportunities. Poverty is a thief that steals not only time, opportunities, but also focus. What is focus? Focus is clarity. If you're not careful, poverty will steal your clarity. You'll not be able to see things in the proper perspective as God would have you see them. Then there's that third word. Poverty is a thief that steals energy. What is energy? Energy is performance. Don't allow poverty and Satan to step into that poverty and steal godly performance that God wants to work in and through your life as a child of God. Then there's talent. Poverty is a thief that steals talent. What is talent? Talent is abilities. We are born with talents. God has given us certain talents. He has also given us specific spiritual gifts as a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even life itself. Right now, there are more than 1 billion people on the earth who earn less than $1.25 a day. These meager earnings make it almost impossible for them to purchase even small doses of food to sustain their lives. So you see how this would lead to chaos in the world. Here's a man that's doing his best, but he's not making much money. And he wants to feed his family. He wants to provide for his family. So you can see how quickly that chaos can creep into lives like this as a result of poverty. These meager earnings make it almost impossible for them to purchase even small doses of food to sustain their lives. World hunger is being felt all over the planet. And it is a sign that Jesus said we would witness just before the end of the church age, the age of grace. What's going to happen at the end of the church age? It is the rapture of the church. Now, the Bible is full of scriptures about helping the poor and hungry and promises special blessings. Underline those two words, if you will, special blessings. And you might want to write this. Blessings that will come at the right time. Blessings that will come from God at the right time. God knows when to give and God knows what to give. So don't worry about anything if you're a child of the living God. Go to God in prayer. He's waiting to talk to you. He's waiting to deliver what you need in your life at that very moment. So the Bible is full of scriptures about helping the poor and hungry and promises special blessings to those who obey God's charge. There's a condition right there. To make a difference in the lives of people that are in need. You know, you can give food. And that's kind of what we're talking about in a way. But let me go ahead and pump up the Gideons here a little bit. When the Gideons give Bibles, they are able to give Bibles that have been purchased by your giving. So when you even give spiritual food to people that have no spiritual food, God will bless the giving of those Bibles. And God will bless those who gave money to purchase those Bibles. All right, let's continue. Question number two. Do we have a responsibility to hear the cry of the poor? The answer is absolutely yes. Proverbs 21:13. Whoever shuts his ears, underline that phrase, shuts his ears. Shuts his ears means whoever shows no mercy. What is mercy? It's more than a word. It's more than a feeling. Mercy is helping those in need. It's not to say, I feel sorry for you, or God have mercy on you, and then turn around and walk away. If you're going to extend the mercy of God, you're actually going to do something to help those people that are in need at that very moment. Whoever shuts his ears, shows no mercy, refuses to help. Whoever shuts his ears at the cry of the poor, underline the word poor. Who are the poor? They're the feeble. They are weak. And they are helpless. They're trying to help themselves. They're trying to do the best that they can. But it's just not enough. And when Jesus brings you in contact with an individual or a family that is feeble, weak, and helpless, we're going to do more than say, God bless you. We're going to say, God bless you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to make sure that you receive what you need to go forward in your situation. Whoever shuts his ears at the cry of the poor, the feeble, the weak, the helpless, now listen to this, will cry out himself and not be answered. That is a strong statement by the living God. I want you to underline that phrase, not be answered. And here's a note that you don't have. He himself will be disregarded when he is in need. Is there anybody that wants to be disregarded when you are in need? I really don't know of anyone that wants to be in that state. Here's another note. He will not be listened to when he cries out for help. Look at the paragraph below 21:13. You're compassionate. Where does your compassion come from? Where should it come from if you are a child of the Lord Jesus Christ? If Jesus Christ is living in you, then the compassion of God is in you. When you surrender and decide to be obedient to the Word of God, when you decide to carry out Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, be commanded, be controlled, be divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit of God, I promise you the good of God is going to be delivered and the good of God is going to be carried out. Because the good of God is on the inside of you. So let it come through you as a child of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're compassionate, sacrificial. Is it sacrificial sometimes for you to give? I think the honest answer is yes. Sometimes we have a lot to give. Sometimes we don't have that much to give. What should I do in a situation that I don't have much to give at that moment? Give anyway. And I'm going to tell you why in a moment. Your compassionate, sacrificial act of investing. Underline the word investing. What is giving? Giving is investing. Giving is investing. Let me tell you something. Listen. Giving, by the grace of God, is investing in the stock of God. S-T-O-C-K, the stock of God. There is no better stock to invest in than the stock of the living God. The returns are out of this world. You're compassionate. Sacrificial act of investing. How many people say in church, oh, I don't know if I can give or not, or it's a drudgery. Let me tell you something. Tell me why you don't need to invest in God. I'm all ears. We all need to invest in God. Why? Because God is God. Who's God? He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's everywhere present. He is all sufficient. Tell me, is there a door He cannot open? No. Is there anything He can't give? No. The stock of God is what? It is out of this world. It is awesome. And whatever you need, He has an abundance of it. Amen. Conley, non-negotiable. Your compassionate, sacrificial act of investing and giving is investing in God's stock. Investing in the lives of those who lack the basic provision of adequate food to sustain health and growth will bring, listen to this, you might want to underline this also, a special blessing from God to your life. Let me tell you something. I assure you, there's some things coming that you're not aware of. There's some things coming that you will not know how to handle if you're not careful. There's some things that are coming that you're going to get on your knees and say, God, I need a blessing. God says, I know, I'm just waiting to hear from you. And He says, here it comes. Really, it's right on time. It's exactly what you need, isn't it? And then take that time to praise and thank the living God. And thank Him for His heavenly stock program. Proverbs 19:17. He who is gracious or kind and lends a hand to the poor lends to the Lord. You can't beat that. And the Lord will repay. Underline the word repay. Now get all of this. He who is gracious or kind and lends a hand to the poor lends to the Lord. And the Lord will repay. You might want to write this little note. How will He repay? And maybe an unexpected gain, an unexpected benefit, an unexpected advantage is going to come into your life that you never dreamed of, and you've been complaining and so worried about it. Serve the living God. Live by His Word. Let Ephesians 5:18 be an everyday scripture in your life. And what's the worry? Kyle, you might even give it a new gun. Did you hear that, wife? You didn't hear that, did you? He who is gracious and lends a hand to the poor lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay him for his good deeds. Okay? Let's look back at that verse. I've got a few notes that you don't have. Verse 17, the word poor, let's give it another go. The word poor, I want you to remember, the word poor means feeble, weak, and helpless. This is a concern that goes beyond pity. Pity goes beyond that. Then the words gracious and lends. Gracious and lends. Now gracious and lends, number one, this is giving a helping hand. What is it? It's doing something. I'm going to tell you something. If somebody comes to your house and you hadn't eaten in a week and they said, God bless you, have mercy on you, and then walks away, you're going to be tempted to grab him by the collar and say, here, come here. I'm not done with you. Take me somewhere to eat. Please feed me. That's what we're talking about here. This is helping hands doing good things. This is meeting their needs. For lack of such kindness is condemned. You don't want to be kind? You don't hear from God. You are condemned. Giving to the poor is like lending to the Lord, as it is an investment. God will reward. God blesses people's generosity with His generosity. Woo! Do you know why this church can do what it does? Because you don't mind investing in the Lord. Points, two of them. Number one, it is impossible to outgive God. Number two, we will reap what we sow. Be careful. Here we go. All right, now, I am going to page two. Top of the page. There's another title. Economic woes, the end time shaking. Question number one. This word famines, what else did it mean in Jesus' time? And what does it mean for the days in which we live? A, famine. Famine, specifically described as scarcity of grain. And you're fixing to know why. The economies of Jesus' day were largely based on grain. So a shortage of grain would have resulted in an economic shaking. A shortage of grain would have financially debilitated the Roman Empire in much the same way a crash in the trade markets would affect the world today. So when Jesus used famines to forecast a scarcity of grain and widespread hunger in the last days, He was additionally forecasting that a time would come at the end of the age when economic shortfalls and deficits would be so immense that these famines would affect global economies. This was a prediction of financial instability at the end of the age. Mark's gospel adds an additional word to this prediction of end time famines that will give us more insight into Christ's prediction of financial instability in the last days. Mark 13:8. Here the writer recorded that Jesus said, "There shall be famines and troubles." Now your translation probably won't have the word troubles, but the New King James Version does. There are some versions that do and there are some that don't. Don't let it shake you. But look at the word troubles. This word means to be troubled, stirred up, agitated, anxious, or upset about something deeply disturbing or troubling. Jesus is letting us know that financial shakings would be repeated again and again. In the other words, the earth at that time in history, the end of the church age, would exist in a state of being financially troubled, stirred up, agitated, anxious, and upset. Jesus, in addition, was also forecasting deficits, economic shortages, and financial hardships will affect the earth and serve as another indicator that we are speeding toward the close of the age. Question number one. Should this prediction frighten us? The answer is absolutely not. No. And here's the reason why. Our faith. Well, you underline faith. Faith is more than believing. Faith is believing. Faith is trusting. Faith is acting on the Word of God. Remember, Christianity is a lifestyle to be lived. And that's why we should not be afraid if we are living out the Word of God, if Christianity is actually a lifestyle of our life and our living, then why should you be afraid? If Christianity is your lifestyle, then you are investing in the living God. And as you invest in Him, will He not supply all your needs at the right time? Our faith and trust in Christ's words, that's the words you have in the Bible, and careful attention to His leading. In other words, would you throw your agenda away, please? God's not interested in your agenda nor mine. When you got saved, He handed you your protocol. He handed you the Word of God. That's your new agenda. And when you choose to live by it, you'll be glad that you did. and careful attention to His leading will hold us steady through any storm of scarcity that affects society and global financial markets in this end times age. What's coming up next Sunday? I won't be here. We'll be gone, won't we? But we're coming back.
Amen.
Amen. Well, when I get back here next time after vacation, it'll be the emergence of pestilences and new diseases. Coronavirus, you'll be old news down the road. There's some new kids coming on the block. Not far away. Most gracious Heavenly Father, again, we thank You and we thank You for alerting us, warning us, preparing us for what lies ahead. And thank You that we can invest in the stocks of God. Dividends are great. Blessings are awesome. Wisdom, thank You so much for that. We don't have to stumble around. We don't have to worry. For we have invested in Your program, and You will repay those investments. Thank You. Help us to share that with others that are shaking right now, scared to death of what's coming. What's coming is Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why the most important thing is to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So no matter what happens, you'll be ready to pick up anchor and sail right into His presence. Thank You for loving us in Jesus' name. Amen.